This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Wanda, what do you know about the multiverse?
Viz had his theories. He believed it was dangerous.
He was right.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. We have got another review lined up for you today, and it is the latest installment in the MCU. It's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is, of course, a follow-up to everything.
That pretty much sums it up, I think. At this point, if you don't already know any of these things, what the multiverse is, who Doctor Strange might be, why he's talking to Wanda Maximoff, or, you know, you might as well not watch it, right? Because there's a certain amount of pre-existing knowledge you have to come into these things with. This certainly does ride on a lot of those expectations. For what it's worth, it's not like my favorite MCU movie. There are many issues with it, but I had a really good time. And we'll get into why later, but I had a really good time watching this movie. It was just fun.
You know how we reviewed Moon Knight and we said that it's attached to nothing in the MCU? This is attached to, like you said, everything in the MCU. Like, it's got so much connective tissue that you'd have to literally watch, what, the 27, 28 movies before it to get the full scope of what's going on. I really wanted to like this. Like, I honestly wanted to come in with, like, Spider-Man No Way Home energy and say that it's the best thing I'm probably going to see this year, and it just blew my mind and it's restructuring the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse. But if I'm being honest, and I have to be honest, I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would. There's a lot of expectations that I think it didn't deliver on. And I mean, it's a perfectly fine movie, but as a fan with all that hype, I don't think the movie delivers on all that hype. That's just like initial thoughts.
Of all the Doctor Strange shocks that I expected, this is the one that shocked me the most.
This is quite hardcore.
I'm not emerging and being all like, yeah, about this film.
So I think I'm in the middle, but probably much closer to the Sharmila end of things in that I enjoyed it. I think it's really clunky. I think that there are a lot of problems with it, but I also think it was fun. It was the kind of roller coaster ride, action-packed ride that I do want from Marvel, and they delivered on that front. It is a go-go-go kind of movie. It drops you right into the middle of a story, and it leaves you almost in the middle of a story. It has middle child energy, I think we can put it that way. It is of that sort of... This is the problem when there's so much connective tissue. So I'm trying very hard not to spoil. So I think what we can say is that this takes place in the part of the MCU that you expect it to take place in. In other words, following on from the events of Spider-Man No Way Home and all the other movies that came before it. And also, I think we should say specifically WandaVision, because Wanda Maximoff plays a pretty prominent role in the film. And if you haven't seen that series, I think there's going to be a lot lost there for you. But Doctor Strange and Sorcerer Supreme Wong find themselves in the position of protecting a teenager, America Chavez, who finds herself running from a mysterious enemy.
Well done. So the thing that I liked about this film, and I think this is coming on the wake of me realizing that the movies of late that I've really enjoyed out of the MCU, other than your Endgame and all, which are sort of tentpole features, right, are the ones where they just get these really distinctive storytellers and let them go wild with the material. So Taika Waititi with Thor, for instance, or even for that matter, Chloe Zhao with The Eternals. This one has Sam Raimi, and I'm a huge fan of his aesthetic, that kind of campy horror aesthetic, and he really brings it to this film in a very particular way. And I think that has a lot to do with why I enjoyed this film. It's a very campy, over-the-top Doctor Strange, which I don't think we've really seen before, and that leans a lot more into the comic bookishness of both Doctor Strange and Wanda or Scarlet Witch as well. So there are a lot of scenes in this film that are straight up just like either horror-inspired or comic book-inspired. So there is a lot there to enjoy. I don't think I cared as much that it didn't necessarily deliver on all the multiversal aspects that it was promising to deliver.
So I think for me, the Sam Raimi-ness was the problem. And I didn't think it was going to be a problem, but watching it halfway through, I was like, something's off here. I think the issue is that Sam Raimi has a very specific sense of camp and horror that's dated. So the superhero stuff worked in 2002, 2004, 2007 with Spider-Man, not even 2007, so just up to 2004. And then the horror was like way back in the 90s, 80s, 70s, right? I think this movie is a monster blend of both. So it's horror Raimi plus superhero Raimi trying to be in a single film. And Danny Elfman's also there, like doing the music. I think that the fact that he cannot do full horror because Marvel won't let him, plus he can't go full camp because then it wouldn't be tonally consistent with the other MCU movies, is the biggest problem of this film. It's trying to do a lot. So it's kind of horror, but it's also kind of camp. And then it also has MCU qualities. And then it has a lot of Sam Raimi. I don't know if I like that because it seemed like everyone was operating in movies that they decided for themselves. Like Benedict Cumberbatch is doing a different thing and Elizabeth Olsen's doing her own thing. And then the movie's trying to be this beast of itself, like its own thing. That didn't sit well with me.
So I'm trying to more fully embrace a Marvel cinematic universe that isn't so samey. And so for that reason, I appreciate them hiring Sam Raimi. I like that. I like that he brings a different sensibility to it. And also, you can't help but notice, it's impossible not to see it happening when it happens because there are strange point of view shots, there are ghouls, there are just very...
Zombies.
Mm-hmm. They're shot a certain way. They're shot by somebody with a very, very strong horror sensibility. There are entire 10 to 15 minute chase sequences in the film that are straight up ripped out of the classic horror playbook. And so those things I did actually enjoy because they're weird. They're weird and very much in your face. What I don't enjoy, I think, is when you have scenes and sequences that don't make sense in the context of the film, in the sense that the characters would never behave this way. No sane person would behave this way, but it's all done in service of a specific jump scare or a specific horror moment. And that's what makes me think, I don't know whether this is in service of the larger storyline or whether this is in service of an aesthetic that would be true to the director, but not necessarily true to the characters whose story this purportedly is. And so those are the kinds of things I had issues with. I think the writing and pacing was a bit weird. I said earlier that it's a go, go, go kind of film. It's a relatively short installment in the MCU. And it's not even, is it? I mean, in terms of the amount of time we spend in different scenes with different versions of people, it's uneven. And I think that unevenness left me feeling wanting.
No, it's definitely a very uneven film. And even the weirdness or the Sam Raimi-ness, as it were, right? It takes a while. So the first like third of the film, you're kind of like, it feels a little bit like your other Marvel films, right? And then progressively it just changes. And then when they go to other universes or whatever, that changes as well. They're like jarring tonal shifts that happen from thing to thing, from emotion to emotion. And some of the emotions are quite intense. There are things going on in this film about grief and trauma, which are quite deep, but you're never really allowed to sit with anything, whether it's emotions or even the joy of entering a new world and wanting to understand how certain dynamics might work. The movie instead just kind of lurches from thing to thing because there are like certain points it needs to hit. And I wonder how much of that also has to do with just the MCU playbook, and there needing to be a certain arc as well as certain plot points they need to service. And therefore, it's like, okay, you have to get from A to Z and then you have 2 hours to do it. Go.
I also think we were sold a different movie, which I had a major, major problem with. I'm sounding like I completely hate this thing. I don't. I'm still gonna... I still love it as an MCU thing, as a superhero movie. It's just that calling it the Multiverse of Madness immediately makes you expect some sort of level of insanity. Everything Everywhere All at Once was a better multiverse film because it went there. It just leaned into it. This movie doesn't lean into it. So, number one, the title doesn't make much sense. It's selling you on something that it cannot deliver on. The trailer was attached to Spider-Man No Way Home. It was at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home, which makes you think that it is going to directly follow from those events, which it does not. I don't think it's a spoiler to say that it doesn't. It was consistently compared to Avengers Endgame, calling it like a massive event film, like the crossroads of this universe. multiverse, which again, it's not. It's a perfectly decent Doctor Strange sequel, and it works fine in that respect. It's just not the major event film that everyone marketed it to be, like opening tickets a month in advance. You know what I mean? It's not that sort of event film. And I think a lot of people who go in wanting that event film might find, you know, might come out disappointed.
I 100% agree. That's all I wanted to say. I really think that I was expecting a huge film rather than a mini middle child film, which is fine. I think that if we had had our expectations managed and you were told this is a sequel to Doctor Strange and it's going to deepen our understanding of his character, which it does, it's going to widen his scope of ability or widen our understanding of the scope of his ability, which it does, introduce new people into the MCU and into the Doctor Strange version of New York City specifically, all fine, right? I think then we're all fine. It's where it goes, yes, but actually 20 years from now, you know, this is going to really matter. And that stuff gets a bit complicated. But after this, what we did like, perhaps, I don't know, we're talking today about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and our various impressions of it. Let us know, have you watched it yet? Do you plan to? Did you like it? WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
You break the rules.
Look out!
I become a hero. I do it, I become the enemy. That doesn't seem fair.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Shyamalan Arvin, and today we're reviewing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which we all agree is uneven. We've used the word lurching a few times now, which I think is quite accurate, but we've also said it's fun, and I think we should spend a bit of time talking about that because it actually really is tremendous fun. It doesn't have the same sort of endorphin rush as some of the other MCU films, but I think there's still a lot of pleasure to be had in it. And for me, a lot of that rests in the performances. Obviously, Wong. I genuinely love Benedict Wong
honestly,
in this role.
Yeah, yeah.
I love him. But Benedict Cumberbatch is having so much fun fully hamming it up. Like, the guy is just really, really going for it with the hands and the face and the American accent. And all of it. I'm here for it.
I loved him in this film. I mean, he's, you know, everyone kept talking about what a great Doctor Strange he was in the first Doctor Strange, and he was. Looks-wise, the guy has it. But I think this movie is when you really see him embrace the comic book roots of this character, and all of the inherent silliness of a person holding up his hands and casting spells and, I don't know, fighting things from other realms. And he, it's just fun to watch him. He's so good in this role. He cuts such a dashing figure in the outfit, and he has great chemistry with practically everyone that comes across him on screen. I think he did a lot to keep this movie going, even through the parts that felt a little weird or patchy or even just slightly bogged down.
So I think I'm never surprised by Benedict Cumberbatch because of how good he is. And I always feel like Doctor Strange is something that he could do, you know, without even trying. Like, it's that easy. Elizabeth Olsen, for me, stole the show. Like, I was genuinely surprised at how good she is as Wanda, as the Scarlet Witch in this. She is so, so, so good. And it kind of, I also like that with her character and her performance, it justifies WandaVision as an MCU TV show, making, like, getting you into that show and saying that these things matter. Like, you know, they have some kind of connectedness to the larger universe and these movies. But yeah, just seeing her play that character and fully, like, blend into it and own it, that was something to watch. I think she was operating on a different level. I think she was operating in a different movie. That's an issue, but I loved watching her every time she was on screen.
I really enjoyed Elizabeth Olsen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said this a few times now to both of you off air, but Did anyone see this coming in Age of Ultron? Like ever? When she showed up with like a clunky accent and, mm-hmm. And like two fingers pressed to people's temples. Like it's not exactly, you know, groundbreaking stuff. But Wanda Maximoff is maybe the most interesting character in the MCU.
She is, right?
At this moment in time. You know, she's got the most depth. She's unpredictable. I just really enjoyed watching her. And I enjoyed watching Elizabeth Olsen flex, right? Whether she's being tender, whether she's being foreboding and threatening, whether she's, you know, just doing, again, all the silly things that we were talking about Benedict Cumberbatch doing, like summoning glowing red orbs from her hands and floating around. There's a scene where the two of them have a conversation in the sky. And I remember watching that and thinking, oh, okay, look at these two acting their hearts out.
You could watch that for like 20 minutes, right?
Right.
Them just talking in the sky.
In the sky, yeah. Holding their bodies in like a very specific way. But yeah, I really enjoyed them. I think the various other performances surrounding it also, I joked earlier, but I think Benedict Wong as this sort of nonplussed character who's just showing up to say things but also imbue gravitas into weird moments is a presence that I enjoy in every Marvel film he's in.
So I wonder whether this is going to be a thing we see more of. And if we are, it would be really great, right? I mean, even the pairing of Thor and Star-Lord, which is going to happen in Love and Thunder, and now we see Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch or Wanda. We saw Falcon and Winter Soldier in the TV show. And I do think that there's actually quite a lot of fun to be had putting together characters that you haven't really seen have a lot of screen time together in the sort of major movies, now kind of having these little interactions. Because who would have thought that Doctor Strange and Wanda Maximoff might end up having this excellent dynamic? Like, they're so much fun to watch together on screen.
And I think that's the issue the first time you see the movie, because you're so hyped about everything that's going to happen that you don't have time to appreciate all the little things that they are doing on screen, like ping-ponging off each other's chemistry. I will say, though, that on a second viewing, the movie is a lot better. So you get to really, because your expectations are in place, you know what's going to happen, you can see what's coming. And then you get to really just sink in and go like, okay, I want to see what this person's doing, I want to enjoy this person's performance. You get to enjoy the action a lot better. The visuals are really nice. Like watching this on the big screen, like if you're paying whatever amount for a ticket, it justifies the ticket money, you know, because it's going to give you like good sound, good music, and it just looks good. It's 2 hours of a movie that looks really, really nice, like in its crisp sort of multiversal colors and stuff.
Yeah, I think that so a lot of the fun for me, like I said, comes in watching Benedict Cumberbatch, yes, but also in the production design of the various verses. Mm-hmm. I think that they had a lot of fun exploring the ways in which they could do that. I mean, the first Doctor Strange was also very trippy. So I think that that set at least this expectation in place. I wanted to rail on something now, which is that I really don't like the slightly exclusionary feel of the MCU at this point in time. And I say this again as somebody who really enjoys the content. I love watching it. I don't like doing homework. I'm sorry. I just don't think that should be an expectation before I go into every new film. I understand that at this point, they're not going to change. It's making money. You know, people are following along. It's the people who haven't are probably not going to anyway. It doesn't matter. But I don't think that I should have to read an encyclopedia entry or watch 10 hours of a TV show in order to understand what's happening. But honestly, if you don't, I don't think there's anything in this for you.
Actually, that's interesting, right? Because in some ways, Doctor Strange almost feels like, again, being a middle child, it's almost breaking away in some sense. It's still beholden to some things, in this case, particularly WandaVision. But other than that, it doesn't necessarily need you to watch too many things.
It's the emotional heft. There is no emotional weight to this movie if you haven't
watched the others. Yeah. And I wonder how long we can go on with that. And Moon Knight perhaps is an indication that they are moving off in directions where people can consume things in isolation. And I wonder whether this movie is a part of a journey to that that hasn't quite gotten there yet.
So for me, I'm the direct opposite of that. Like, I love you have to watch this TV show to understand this movie. You have to watch the prequel to understand the sequel, that sort of thing. And not because I like the homework bit, but I feel like, so Marvel creates like communal events. Like they know how to do those. Like, you know, they get people together to watch these movies and stuff. And I always feel like if there's a gap in the narrative or the timeline, there's always going to be someone to fill you in on that gap. And for some reason, I like that. So even if I've missed out on something and then I'm talking to you guys, I can be like, but I don't remember him doing that. And then one of you will be like, no, but he did that in that movie, in Civil War or Thor Ragnarok or whatever it is. I think that aspect is what I love the most. Not so much going back and having to watch it, but the fact that they give you these bits and pieces of Easter eggs and narrative tissue that everybody has bits and pieces of to just have a conversation about, if that makes sense.
I get it. I think I just keep sitting next to people who require a lot of explanation through the course of a film. And that just has me thinking, well, if this is one individual cinema, how often is this happening? And how long can we go on like this?
Oh, no, I've straight up had to take friends who emerged not knowing what they've watched and then regretted watching it with me because they missed like five movies in between or something.
I will say, though, that in the grand calculus of the multiverse, this movie is, as a fan, I mean, the fact that we have a Doctor Strange 2 is something. Like, sometimes I think about 15 years ago, I would have had to settle for a Ghost Rider. Like, that's the best I would have gotten. And it's like, beggars can't be choosers. So here you go. And a year later, another bad movie comes out. So in that sense, it's an amazing movie. It's better than a bunch of other MCU movies that have come out. But again, I just feel like it could have done more to deliver on the hype. That's all.
I agree with that entirely. I think that overall, the only thing that the two pro people might add is that it is terribly fun.
It is so much fun.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
We've been talking today about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, a title that perhaps is somewhat misleading, as we've established. But let us know, have you watched it? Do you plan to? Did you enjoy it if you've watched it already? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.